Item number five, please.
Item number five is from the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, seeking authorization to negotiate a lease agreement with AT&T for the placement of a telecommunications tower in Veterans Park. The recommended action for this item is to refer to County Board staff.
Mr. Healy?
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors.
Would you introduce yourself so our folks listening understand who's at the table?
Kevin Haley with the Parks Department.
Dave Birch with the Parks Department.
Please proceed.
Well, we're here as a bit of a follow-up to a meeting we held, that this committee held a week ago to provide additional information on the proposal that's in front of us. I'll try to keep it brief because we have discussed a lot of this, but we didn't have the advantage of the technology of our PowerPoint at the last meeting. There's some things that I think may add some clarity, and certainly we can address any questions or concerns. Basically, we have two problems down on the lakefront, and we're trying to address them both with this. In a minute, I'll talk more about Veterans Park and the types of activities and things that we have there. But we also have a significant communication problem down there in that because of the geography of the lakefront area, the height of the bluff, very poor cell coverage in the area. And it's been apparent for a long time when we have major events down there, they're forced to bring in temporary portable, they call them cows, cell on wheels, in order to just provide for the basic needs of the users down there. There's public safety issues. There's many, many issues, just even park staff being able to communicate down there. So we had an opportunity here to try and take on two demons at the same time and come up with a solution for them. What we have here, I'm not sure I'll blind anybody. Included here in the black outline is what is technically Veterans Park. It includes the lagoon that's located along Lincoln Memorial Drive, Lagoon Drive that comes into the site. This area is really sort of the heart of the lakefront in terms of activities. We have this large space where significant events, the Circus Parade, Harley Fest events are all held. This is a large, accessible area. In this area, we have a parking lot, kite concessions. We've also got paddle boats and a lot of very unique things where people are drawn to this area to go and utilize the facility. We have McKinley Marina, parking for the marina, and, of course, the Milwaukee Sailing Center right here. At this point, we have a restroom facility. It's been there for better than 30 years. It's in need of serious upgrades. Money was allocated in the budget to do those improvements. It's kind of a unique little thing in that there's a small restroom building here, and then on the back side is an open-air pavilion that's directly attached to it that's available for picnics and casual use, provides some shelter. As we pursued the redesign for fixing it up, doing the improvements, it became very apparent that a lot of these timbers supporting the open-air structure are in very poor condition. They're rotting. Basically, it was our determination that they need to be replaced. So we were faced with a situation where we've got a very important restroom facility. It's at the heart of a lot of the activity down there. It needs to be there online. It needs work. And yet we've got repairs that go well beyond what's been budgeted for. So one of the approaches that we had is maybe there's a way that we can find to accommodate some joint uses out there that would allow us to not only make the improvements we need but actually some enhancements. So along those lines, we have had some discussions with AT&T to try to come up with a solution whereby a new cell facility could be located down there and we could address a lot of the issues and concerns that frequently come with them, like equipment storage and the need for ground-based equipment. So we've sort of come up with a design that involves an upgrade at a slightly larger restroom facility and then would actually have two wings projecting out the east side of it towards the lake of open-air pavilions. So we're increasing the capacity of the restroom and certainly the gathering spaces. There's also an opportunity to make the whole facility ADA compliant, a concessions area that would serve both of the outdoor pavilion areas. We think we've come up with a fairly unique building. Would look nice, fitting with what's down there, durable, and meet our needs. It provides the opportunity to upgrade the size of that building a little bit to accommodate the mechanical equipment that would be required for a cell tower. So rather than having a discrete facility someplace else, we've come up with a plan that sort of merges it all into one, if you will.
Proposed separate.
Another opportunity that we've looked at is doing a cell tower as a discrete, much as we often see it. They usually have what's known as a base station, a small fencing area at the bottom with mechanical equipment and a little support building where all the electronics go. It is an opportunity to potentially have this as a standalone facility, the cell tower, elsewhere in the park. But there certainly are some advantages to doing it all in one place, certainly in terms of footprint and impacts. But we are looking at an option whereby we could still make the improvements to the restroom and pavilion and potentially locate the cell tower elsewhere in the park. I will add that the experts we've been dealing with at AT&T have a very limited range of locations that will actually work for this in terms of creating the communications upgrades that they need. So we need to be somewhere in this very general area surrounding the restroom. So there's not a lot of opportunity. The tower as proposed is what's known as a stealth tower. That basically means they've made every effort that they can to reduce the size and the visual impact. So again, we're proposing everything inside the building, very little ground presence. And what's actually, I'm led to believe, the first, a very unique tower in that it is only 28 inches in diameter. Basically, they pull all the electronics and the antenna inside close to the core of the pole and put a cylindrical jacket around it, if you will, that allows it to function as well, but read as a very clean vertical line, 28 inches in diameter, 60 feet tall. There is the potential for it to be shorter or taller, as the case may be, but it's 60 feet that allows for ultimate location of up to three different carriers in there. They'd stack their antennas inside of this device, and that would probably take care of a lot of the needs down there. If we wanted to accommodate less carriers, we could reduce the height of that somewhat and certainly could go much higher. Current zoning for this part of the lakefront allows for a 60-foot tower, up to 60-foot. Quick look basically at the park, the relationship. It's the bluff here that really creates a lot of the problem in that cell towers up within the city area. As they reach out towards the lake, there's a shadow area, if you will, in here where the coverage doesn't work. And so putting something down in this area serves to provide connectivity north and south as well as out to the lake for the boater traffic. There's a lot more usage of cell phones by boaters these days as opposed to the older radio technology. Closer view of the park. Basically here superimposed is a view of the roof, if you will, of the new facility. You see it's shaped as a Y, so we've got a restroom facility and then these two wings of the pavilion. Very nice compact footprint in a great location. We're proposing to keep all this there. We have the infrastructure, sewer, water, electric in this area. And of course, it's very proximate to the needs here. Here we have an iris rendering of what that new building might look like here. You're seeing the restroom and the equipment building here. Here's one projection of this open air pavilion. So it can be a very nice looking building. And in essence, what we would see is here's the tower. This is shown to scale at the 28 inches in diameter and a 60-foot height. We have opportunities to, if you will, dress it up, make it look more consistent with the nautical theme down there, give it a little bit additional stealth in terms of mixing it with the masts that are very common down on the lakefront. There is the new restroom facility without the tower. Technology is wonderful. Different view of the new facility, again, not showing the tower. So we have this need. We have to do the restroom upgrade regardless. There's some synergies here in terms of including a tower, but this is what it might look like without that tower if it was located in another portion of the park. Here's a quick little plan view of what we're proposing. We've got restrooms back-to-back with a mechanical chase area in between. These are the open-air pavilions, and then in here is additional space for the equipment for the cell carriers and the opportunity for a concessions window there. Different versions, again, using some of the computer technologies just to show how a tower like this might look relative to the buildings. It's a little dark here. I will add that probably in both of these renderings, these are shown as wider than what's proposed and most likely taller. Different opportunities where basically you're seeing this slender vertical element. Technical details, the monopole, as they call it, mounts into the ground. It's just engineering details. And where we're at. We've had many discussions about the ups and downs, the other opportunities, where we could locate, sort of what are the restrictions. We've had those discussions with AT&T. We think we have a pretty good feeling for where we could go. A week ago today, there was a special meeting of this committee. We took the public comment, as I imagine we'll do today. So we're sort of in the information gathering phase here. What we'd like to do is, with your direction, move ahead, continue to negotiate an agreement with AT&T, and bring it back for final action in December.
Is there anything from Mr. Birch, if you'd like to add?
Just one thing, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. We did respond to some of the commonly asked questions that were asked at the public hearing. I'd like to distribute that, and this is based on comments back from AT&T representatives and our staff. So I'd like to pass that out to the committee as we continue to address all the citizen concerns that we heard at the October 18th meeting.
Yeah, it should be noted, if you didn't pick up on that, that we had a public hearing at the Harbor Lights Room at the Transit Center 1 week ago today, and the public showed up in great number and gave voice to their concerns. As a result of that, the Lakefront Development Advisory Commission is considering re-examining their recommendation on this. That's what I tentatively understand, although I haven't had formal communication yet, but that may be yet another opportunity for the public to be heard on this issue. Questions by committee members. Supervisor Dimitrijevic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, as referenced on the agenda, and totally customary for this type of a plan, I would like to make a motion to refer this back to county board staff so that we can evaluate it properly and, you know, with all kinds of questions from the location, the agreement. I'm sure that our county board staff will take a very good look to make sure that this is indeed the best deal for Milwaukee County and the residents and the Parks Department. After that, I do have some questions.
Sure.
So.
And we have six folks who want to be heard on this issue. Are there other questions by committee members?
Can I still ask a question?
Please.
Okay.
Proceed.
So, again, Mr. Chairman, on the motion for referral to county board staff, I think it's helpful for me to ask them these questions so our staff knows what we're looking for as they take the time to further evaluate this project. One question that's been a concern for me is if this was to move forward in some shape or form, whether it be there or be in a different part, it's in essence geared towards finding new funds for essentially deferred maintenance in the parks, which is a long list, unfortunately. Is this pavilion number one on that list? Wouldn't there be other projects that would need this funding? I mean, I guess I don't understand if there's a new injection of funds into the park system because of this agreement. Why would this, is this pavilion, I know we go through a rigorous kind of grading system. I don't believe that it's at the top, but maybe it is.
Chairman, Supervisors, I can get you that list, but just as we did the playgrounds, we did the restrooms, what have you, and yes, it was on the list. Again, we looked at many different criteria, and as we discussed yesterday, we looked at the revenue-generating areas, and that's why it was on the list to be completed. Just so that you know that I've also requested, it's not on this finance committee cycle, but that we do some sort of fund transfer to actually pay for the facility through county money so that there would be a parallel track. Either way, that facility would be up and running for the spring.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was a major question I had. And I do agree, and Ms. Black has been great at that, pursuing investments in areas that produce revenue to help the overall system. I understand that philosophy, and it's been helpful. One other question that I've been getting from constituents, and I want to make sure I forward it, is have there been other, I guess maybe this is more for AT&T, but I've had a few people ask me, why could we not put the cell phone tower on existing buildings? Not the bluff, but for example, in Bayview, at the Bayview Terrace, we have some cell phone towers on top of the building. And I just thought that, you know, I've seen that in other places. Has that been evaluated?
Chairman, supervisors, what is going to happen right after the meeting mm-hmm. is staff is going to meet with the AT&T staff and their technicians to actually look at other sites. So when they leave the meeting and we continue, they'll actually be assessing the lakefront to see what other sites would work, because obviously we don't want to put it there to put it there. It needs to be a functioning site with the all of the technical connections that it needs. So they'll be looking at that, and then that's why we want to keep studying it to see, are there other sites that would work so that the pavilion itself would remain independent, and then where would the pole go, and where would the support facility for that go as well, so that we know all of the options that are out there. And at the same time, just so you know, we want to look at that height. If aesthetics wasn't a problem, and we could go 100 feet, just say, you could put five carriers in there, and it could end up being a funding source for the deferred maintenance of the park system. But then we'd have to go for a variance. There's a lot of different things that mm-hmm. are going to have to be looked at, but to be as open as we can about this, that's one of the things that we want to look at. The shorter pole means less carriers in the tube. You know, and if however we go on this, you know, you're the policy setters, but I want to give you all of the information as to some, do we want to proceed down this road? You know, that's what we heard from the public hearings, that is this kind of where we're at? And then we'll have to make the determination, is it worth it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that's wise, and I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. I think that's how we should have begun this process. and I also, you know, think that perhaps while we look at the county board, when we get the report, we do need to look at all options. What is the best for the parks? And some have brought up to me, what if we would own and construct it and lease it out? You know, the ideas are endless, but so that I can adequately make a decision as a public policymaker, I will need all those options. And the last thing is, Mr. Haley, do you have that, when you spoke of the diameter, I found that visual object, you didn't bring it with you today?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, because, and I hope that we have it maybe at the next public hearing, but I found that to be very helpful. It was the actual size of the diameter of the cylinder, and it was quite large, but I think it's good for people to see what we're talking about. Yeah, it was kind of like two chairs. So, again, the motion is to refer back to County Board staff. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
The motion is to refer. Supervisor Harris?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I support the referral. And I think, though, this is a really, you know, good creative idea, Ms. Black. But we do have a lot of questions. All the questions can't be answered right now, obviously, because, you know, it sounds like we may look at another public hearing possibly, based on how it sounds, people are talking.
Well, the Lakefront Development Advisory Commission may rehear their recommendation.
Okay, which I think is good for the community. But I just, as I'm looking at the questions that were pulled together and answers, I noticed that number six is not answered. How does this project impact the Lake Bed Grant Public Trust Doctrine? I don't know how that got skipped, but there is no answer to
Mr. Camps is with us, so we will have an answer to that.
Well, the DNR is here.
And the DNR is here as well. That's correct.
All right. So if they could, you know, answer that right now while we have people that are interested in knowing, it will be helpful.
Fine. We'll move on to citizen comment on this matter. Mr. Camps, you wish to comment on this matter?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman and supervisors, we have a moving target here. The minutes of the LDAC meeting that looked at this matter said that the space for AT&T would be approximately 300 square feet. Now we see 1,200 to 1,500. On October 18th, we were told that there would be four antenna within the tower. AT&T would take the top two, leaving the bottom two for a second possibility of a second carrier. If you go to Cell Advisories, I always like to do a little homework, celladvisories.com, it shows that there are seven cell phone carriers in license for Milwaukee right now, and four more may become licensed in the near future. So we have an issue as to how AT&T can have a spot and how the other, assuming someone else comes on in, wants to play second fiddle to AT&T and take the lower, less desirable antenna within the tower. What happens to the other five? I'm impressed with how handsome the building was without the tower. We saw those two slides. I'm impressed with the damage to the view of the lakefront that that tower does. I don't know if you have time to get it to look at it, but Dennis Brzezinski, Senior Counsel for the Midwest Environmental Advocates, emailed late yesterday a very thoughtful letter.
I did have that distributed to committee members, and if they haven't had a chance to review it, they will.
Well, I commend it to their attention. He's not as absolute as I have been about the public trust doctrine, but he points out that one of the very important interests protected by the public trust doctrine is the public's right to enjoyment of natural scenic beauty. And by just looking at those two slides, you can see the damage to the public's right to enjoy the scenic beauty of Lake Michigan and the shoreline. I think that's very significant. The DNR, I had a very brief conversation with Sharon Guyon and Rachel Saber of the DNR yesterday, and they I gathered from that, and they can speak for themselves, and I'm sure they'll do a good job of that. I gathered from that conversation that they were impressed with a safety issue, and they thought that the conclusion I have is that they came to the conclusion that the safety issue trumped the public trust doctrine. I guess if I'm an AT&T user and this tower goes in and I break my leg down there, I can use my cell phone. But if I happen to be a Verizon user, my phone maybe won't work. I don't know how we protect one group of cell phone users and not another group. There are an awful lot of questions that have to be answered. I commend Mr. Grzynski's letter. I also have, and I would ask Mr. Boltman if he could send copies of this to each of you. I know you have an awful lot to read, but this is the Bible. This is the DNR letter to Tom Amon about the public trust doctrine. And it makes the point that on lakebed lands, there must be a connection to commercial navigation or to public recreation associated with the use or enjoyment of the waterway. Even the most liberal interpretation of the Constitution have required this linkage to be made. Now, this is 1996, and it's a long time ago, but this is a constitutional provision. It's not the type of thing that shifts in the wind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Camps. Any questions of Mr. Camps? Mr. Richard Ippolito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I regret that I was not at the 18th of October meeting. My concern is that was there indeed a study as to alternatives, and particularly The Bluff, we talked about the Bluff just a minute ago. Could that be an area to put a tower? And perhaps it would not have to be that tall. And the second point is that an RFP should have been done, not just with AT&T, with anyone else who indeed had an interest in this tower. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Any questions of Mr. Ippolito? John Lunds? Representing Preserve Our Parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. About 6 years ago, a group of well-meaning Navy veterans sought to place an old, obsolete heavy cruiser, the USS Des Moines, in Veterans Park on our lakefront. This would have really been a bad idea in my mind, even though I am one of three Navy veterans on the POP board, so I had some mixed emotions about this. You know, I'm very nostalgic about the Navy. I love my time in. I appreciate the opportunity to serve our country, and I derived a lot of benefit from it. But still, I think that, you know, what really trumps, you know, all this nostalgia is the use of the lakefront by our children and our grandchildren and keeping it open and free for them at all times. So now here I am again, and I am a contented AT&T customer, and I find I'm torn again between my loyalty to AT&T and my love of the park. And unfortunately, I must tell AT&T that, you know, my love of the parks and parks in general really trumps their need for a communications tower. There's a number of analogies here that we can talk about. You know, they talk about the safety issue, that this is a safety issue. We need to have all our cell phones working down there at any one time. Well, back in the Des Moines fight, you may recall one of the issues that the Navy vets brought up was that in times of emergency, in times of civil unrest, a terrorist attack, or any other calamity, the ship could be used as a command post for all you county officials that could lead us safely through the hard times. Well, you know, now we're hearing the same thing, that this tower is a safety issue. I would argue that it's a convenience issue. It seems, in my recollection of the meeting a week ago, that AT&T said that the problem is exacerbated at times of heavy usage. Well, that's the time when the circus parade used to be down there, or the Harley Fest, and those are times, or the Lakefront Marathon was just down there a couple weekends ago. At those times, there's a first aid station there, and there's tons and tons of people down there, not all of them AT&T customers. So if AT&T isn't able to make a connection to an emergency vehicle, perhaps one of their competitors will. So, you know, I don't really buy into the safety issue. Overriding thing is one of my objections to the ship many years ago, and I happen to be one of the veterans that our ship operated with the Des Moines for a short period of its life, so I was intimately familiar with the Des Moines. One of the things that I found in over the years of following Navy museums or ship museums in general is that in the northern climates, they tend to go downhill fast. They just don't draw the people back all the time. So what do? They expand their field of vision. They say, well, you know, if we could build a visitor center alongside the ship, then we get more people to come here. Or, you know, if we can add this or that eyesore to the parks, we would get more people. And, you know, that brings up the point that if we would have okayed the Des Moines being here, what would stop a Army group from coming in, a veterans group, saying, well, we want a Bradley fighting vehicle put here, or an old tank or something else using our park as well, or the Air Force wanting to put in an obsolete plane down there for same reasons. So here we're sitting 6 years later with one company wanting to put a cell phone tower up. And how do, if we say yes to them, how do we say no to all the others who really, in all honesty, we really have to treat fairly? So I ask you very carefully to consider all those items. And my general feeling is some people have said that it should be placed, it could be placed in the park, but elsewhere, not where it's so visibly obvious. But my feeling is that it should not be placed in the park at all. Thank you.
Thank you. A question to Mr. Luntz? Surah Farah?
Thank you. And Greg Bird, who is also scheduled to speak, asked me to say, to let you know that he had to leave, but that he is also opposed to this. So I have several comments. One is, it makes me sad that every several years, privatizing some part of our public space, particularly the lakefront, where we do have the public trust doctrine, comes up. And we have to, what I consider, waste valuable activist time to come down and beg you guys, please don't do this. Director Black, I don't know you, but I have heard so many good things about you. And I appreciate that you are trying to keep our parks healthy with a limited budget. And really what we need is to better fund our parks instead of putting her in a position where she has to go and ask corporations to come and bail us out. Corporations aren't in a very good light these days, and I would not like to see my county allying with them while we have people protesting government and corporate liaisons that are happening in our country, in our county, in our city. I also want to echo what a couple of people have said about the public trust doctrine. Just, you know, we really need to make that a priority. It is a legal document, and doing this is actually illegal, you know. And so the county could be looking at an expensive legal battle on this. The other thing is I also don't buy the safety issue. If I did, I'd be into keeping bike paths off the Hone Bridge. We can't keep everybody safe from everything. And as John pointed out, when those big events are happening down at the lake, there are people, there are first aid stations, there are cows, right, cell on wheels. And actually, in addition to keeping our lakefront visually beautiful, I would like to see a place that is audibly beautiful, where the yammering stops. And you can't really go into a park without hearing people meh, 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 talking on their cell phone all the time. And, you know, I recently took a permaculture course, and one of the things we learned is that within every problem is the seed of its solution. And I really think that there is some way that this idea can be exploited down there. People who are, you know, taking a lunch break, who want to go someplace quiet, you know, this is some place they can go where people won't be on their cell phones. I'm also concerned about the environmental damage. My understanding, and perhaps I'm wrong, but somebody said that you would have to dig into the bluff in order to lay cables. And I don't know if that's accurate. Maybe somebody can answer that for me. So if we were to go ahead with this, which we shouldn't, don't do it, there should be some very clear understanding that if, you know, it says in here in the question and answers that the environmental assessment will be done once a location is determined. Well, the agreement, if there is going to be one, should not happen until that environmental assessment is done. And then last thing, as far as money being the motivator here, at the public hearing on the 18th, Cheryl Nen, Milwaukee Riverkeeper, was there. And she said the county is considering spending money to repair the dam at Esterbrook Park. I would say, if we can save that money, Cheryl said that there is a lot of money right now available, federal money available for taking out dams but not for repairing them. That dam, you know, if we care about the environment, that dam should go. That money could be used to fix our parks. Thank you.
It's a bit far afield from the subject at hand, but thank you for your comments and the passing those on to us. Are there questions of Ms. Farage?
Thank you.
And lastly, Patty Young.
Chairman Broderick, members of the committee, you often see me up here in my professional role. I'm here appearing in my personal life, representing the association I am the president of, Knickerbocker on the Lake. I'm here as a individual who is very much opposed to the projected project of having a cell tower go up in Veterans Park, as are the 180 owners in my building. I also, as you know, am quite passionate about public policy. And I think this is a very salient example of how, as a community and as an elected body, we need to establish how we do policy development and policy adherence. Because I think that if we develop policy but we never have a process by which we enforce that policy, the policy development does not mean anything. And to that, I would make a couple of examples. I totally agree that I was absolutely amazed that this project sort of grew from the ground up, literally and figuratively, without ever having been put out for bid, and that it was just a sole source contract. I think that that's an incredibly dangerous precedent that we have. I think the other thing that just aesthetically, when I looked at the pictures, which was the first time that I was able to do that, they do not meld at all in terms of the style of the building with this nautical theme, and it stood out in my mind like, you know, a big sore thumb on the lakefront. The other thing that I have some real concerns about is we tend, over my many years here, to look at parks that are very popular and in much more affluent neighborhoods. And those are the parks that get the most attention. When I last night I spent a great deal of time looking at all of the private projects and all the private funding that we have just put into the Lake Park. Now, I will admit that that is a jewel of our park system, but it spells a very dangerous slope when we do not have money coming into a central pot, and then as policy and decision makers, we decide where that money should go. And it fuels this, what I call arrogance, of people feeling that I will take care of the lakefront. I don't see a lot of people, you know, putting any money into Caesars Park, which I run by regularly by the North Avenue Dam. Probably most people don't even know. In fact, the stairs are so decrepit there, and we should probably take them out before someone kills themselves. The other thing that I really think that we have to be very conscious of is the fact that we as a community made a very conscious decision as to how we wanted to fund our parks. We had a referendum. And because of the fact that people did not have the political integrity at the state level to put that into place, we are now coming up with these sort of what I call half-baked solutions. And obviously, we're going to have this problem repeatedly over and over again unless we come up with long-term planning and don't put our parks in a situation of having to sort of rob Peter to pay Paul. I also, as a boater, want to mention something about this alleged issue of safety. First of all, most cell phones don't work, and certainly my experience when I'm on the lake is because my battery has gone out. It has nothing to do with the fact that I can't get reception. And by the way, I do have AT&T. I'm not saying I'm you know, a loyal customer, but I do have AT&T for purposes of disclosure. The other thing is, it is much more prudent, if you are a boater, to have a radio contact, which is much more stable, much more consistent, much more likely to work at long ranges. The real problem that I, as a boater, might have is that if I go out too far, and trust me, your cell phone tower is not going to help me if I'm going across the lake to Michigan. I need to have something much more secure. So I think that that's really a fallacy in terms of, you know, the safety issue. But more importantly, I think it's a bad policy to tell people that if they go on the lake and they're going to really be out there, that they use their cell phone, because I think it's not the primary recommended thing. So I thank you for your comments. I guess I would ask that we shelve this. I know that it's going to be referred to staff, but I think there has to be a better way that we develop policy. And last but not least, I can't help but also say that when we have these public input committees, I know that I made some written comments about the process, but when you don't allow any public input at the committee meetings themselves, and I know we do that because it obviously speeds the process along, but it allows for ideas to take form and be very, very developed before the public has input. And I think that that's a danger in terms of, you know, how, again, we develop policy. So thank you very much for your comments.
I would comment that that was the reason the public hearing was called.
And I do appreciate
that. The notable absence of that in the process.
Right.
Any questions of Ms. Young? Supervisor?
Not Ms. Young.
Okay. The motion before us, to remind us, is to refer to staff made by Supervisor Dimitri Avid. Supervisor Jersey.
I'd like to ask Corp Counsel to come forward.
Corporation Counsel, are you in the room? Thank you, Mr. Grady.
Ms. Young actually raised some issues that I had, and I'd like to start by asking if this whole process violates the ordinances that we have on bidding processes. In other words, is this a sweetheart deal? Ms. Young called it a sole source contract. I might call it selling our soul. Does this violate bidding process by giving a single contractor like AT&T access to a site with limiting the kind of leases that we might otherwise acquire if this were put out for bid? And I would just indicate, I've been watching in the budget that we've been doing, we have a antenna contract out on county grounds which brings us $200,000 a year. Just for a comparison, I don't even know how that might compare with the lakefront deal, but I'd like to hear Corp Counsel's thought on that. Thank you.
Mr. Grady?
Mr. Chairman, Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. Department heads are supposed to use an RFP process for professional services, which this is not. This is a construction project. There is a procurement process, which, without looking at the ordinance, I'd have to go through in detail. My most direct response would be the county board always has the authority on its own to approve projects without RFP processes if it wants to do that. There are budget amendments presently pending before the Finance Committee to do that kind of thing, to give work to a group that's been selected throughout without an RFP process, and the county board has done that in the past. So the county board is not bound by the RFP process. Departments are, and so ultimately the county board can bless a department failing to do that if the county board wishes to do that, but the county board could also go back to the department and say, follow the ordinance. I don't know if that's answering your question. But
it does, and I appreciate that, and I would just, I'll support the referral to staff, and I would like to ask, as they look at this, to have staff investigate with the department on whether they did an RFP process. Thank you.
The motion before us, Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to thank the activists who come out today and the concerned citizens who are here. There may not be much of a line when you get down to it between an activist and a concerned citizen. I've been both. I'm not a policymaker. But before I get on to that, let me say I appreciate all your time here. I appreciate Director Black coming to discuss this with us. And being a policymaker, I think this is something we need to do our homework on, and we need to do a thorough job of doing our homework. This is not an item that, as a policymaker, that should be fast-tracked. It should not be allowed to progress through without attention to the detail, because so often the devil's in the details. Sometimes the zen and the joy of something can be in the details as well. But, you know, as a policymaker, we don't often deal with joyful things, but we have to deal with the nitty-gritty, the dirty things. And we have to look at how this will play out in the long run. Old favorite saying of mine, long-term perspective. This deals with many issues that require a view of a long-term perspective, such as lakefront usage. I also want to know if there are options that would provide more robust revenue models for the county. This needs to be studied very closely, and I appreciate the work that individuals such as Charlie are doing. I appreciate the work that Director Black has been doing. I appreciate the work that our research staff will do. I support the motion, and with that, I say thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there other comments? The motion before us is to refer to County Board staff.
Mr. Chairman, can we specifically ask them to refer to county staff and to you the department's procedure of the RFP?
Right. That is, in fact,
thank you.
Please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Dmitrievich?
Aye.
Jersey?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Vote is 7-0. This item is referred to County Board staff.
Thank you very much.